Today's reading will be from Master's book, The Mystery of Death, Chapter 1, Nothing Dies in Nature. The Master says, death and deathlessness, both in here and the nature of all that is. All that combines in itself, both matter and spirit. Matter is but a projecting screen for the spirit, the all-pervading spirit that attracts matter in varying degrees and densities and vibrations to manifest itself in the various patterns of forms and colors at different levels of existence. Spirit by itself, without the material mantle to manifest itself on the earth plane, is void. For spirit without the covering of matter cannot be seen with the eyes of flesh, just as the power of springtime makes itself felt only when it acts on flowers and fruits, making them bloom and blossom with juicy fragrance and luscious flavor. Man represents in him the doctrine of the Trinity on earth, as he combines in himself body, mind, and soul, the last being of the essence of God, the life breath, enlivening both the body and the mind, making one a living man with the breath of God surging in him from top to toe. The human body is individualized matter, inasmuch as the spirit enshrouded therein seems to be an individualized spirit, like the same sun reflecting in so many water pots. At death, the body composed as it is of different elements dissolves and returns to the cosmic reservoir of substances, ultimately merging in the one primal substance and soul, and the soul returns to God. Or the silver cord be loosened, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel be broken at the cistern, then shall dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Ecclesiastes. A living man is something independent and a part of the supreme power that flows in him. He is a product of the supreme power acting on the material plane through an organized body of waves which produce a state of consciousness in him. Man exists when the supreme power runs in and through his bodily mold, but when that power withdraws unto itself, man is no more a living entity, for all functional activity in him ceases, and what remains, nothing but a mass of inert matter, the same as before in shape and substance, but without the living life impulse that was pulsating in him moments before. Like man, the entire universe is a manifestation of the one life principle, the principle of living consciousness in varying degrees, right from the logos down to the atoms of the material elements, perpetually moving in rhythmic motion, forming and reforming in quick succession, many patterns of the supreme power acting in and upon them. In short, the intelligence of the universe abides and abides forever and anon in the heart of each atom, which is dancing to its tune like the eternal dance of Shiva, the living embodiment of Shakti, the mother of the universe. In the esoteric cosmology, the theory of dead matter does not find any place whatsoever, for matter cannot exist by itself without the cohesive power inherent therein. Matter, in fact, is energy in congealed form. In ancient philosophy, a sharp distinction was drawn between being and existence. The logos, the archetypical world, is that of being, changeless and eternal, while existence is an expression of the expansion or moving forward and outward into the world of becoming, a world of ceaseless change and transformation from moment to moment. Psychologists and physicians like botanists, horticulturists, and floriculturists tell us a lot about the mechanical and chemical processes going on in the human metabolism, or, in fact, in any living organism, be it a tree, a flower, a fruit, an ant, or an elephant, but they cannot tell us why they live, how they live, for what they live, what is life itself, and above all, what is consciousness that characterizes the life impulse on any and every plane of existence. The cosmic cycle proves that life is eternal. Life is an endless process. It continues on and on, assuming one form after another in an endless series, appearing, disappearing, and reappearing in, like waves and bubbles in the stream of time. Time rolling down from eternity to eternity. Nature is but one vast reservoir of life and matter in which nothing is lost and nothing dies, no matter how many forms may change and change kaleidoscopically in less than the twinkling of an eye. It is this changing process that is commonly called death. Death in one form, at one place, and simultaneously birth in another form, at another place, or on another plane. Invisible vapor arises from the sea, dies, so that the change to invisible solid snow on the mountaintop. And the visible snow, in its turn, taking once again the reverse process, the process of death, melts into liquid water, and the water changes back into the invisible ethereal form or vapor again, making a continuous chain of cause and effect. Similarly, man becomes a visible entity when his spirit puts on the human form. And then in the course of time, that very man of so many roles on the stage of life, at once a son, a brother, husband and father, now an infant, and then a young man, and lastly a daughter, ultimately becomes invisible when the spirit in him withdraws, causing, to the consternation of those around him, a void in the vast web of relationships that he wove around him during his existence on the earth plane. This is what actually happens at the time of the final change, when the physical body disintegrates and resolves into the cosmic order of things, and the life currents emerge into the great cosmic life principle, which is vitally organic in nature and not chemically inorganic and mechanical. Death is not what it seems to be, or what it is taken for in common parlance. Death and life are correlative terms, on the earth plane only, when in reality there is no difference between the two, and in fact, one cannot be counter-distinguished from the other. For death cannot swallow life, nor can death put an end to life. It is just an interchangeable process, like two sides of a coin rotating on its axis. Do we not see day and night, light and darkness alternately coming and going as rotating earth spins and revolves around the sun, which is casting shadows of varying lengths at different places, while the sun itself continues to shine all the time? Death does not mean total extinction or annihilation, as at times it is believed to be. Death is nothing but a change of consciousness from one place of existence to another place of existence. Life, on the contrary, is one of continuous process, which knows no end. For the so-called death that follows life is not lifelessness, but life in another form, at another place, here on earth or elsewhere, then in a different form, with a different name and under a different set of circumstances, as is adjudged by divine dispensation. Dharmaraj working according to the inexorable law of action, or karma. St. Paul tells us, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever soweth a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Life, being a positive expression of the Supreme Being, is not subject to the negativity of death, and the latter cannot therefore extinguish the former, the eternal flame of life. We have the testimony of the unbroken line of masters who taught that life and death are mere words in a world of duality, meant to describe the surface effect, or the circumferential shifting of the state of consciousness of the inner being dwelling at the center. These are merely visible and invisible stages in the cosmic cycle through which the inner man passes. The lamentable, horrifying, and much dreaded death is, in reality, a rebirth, being born again of the inner man into a life which may be more joyous and more beautiful than known hitherto. Death, the awe-inspiring and heart-rendering death, says Kabir, is to me a harbinger of joyous life, and I welcome it fully. The Gospels also tell of the kingdom of God that awaits one beyond the death door. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water, and neomic, and neonotic fluid, and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou canst hearest the sound thereof, but canst thou tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit, St. John. Thus, with each successive death or dissolution of form, the Spirit, freed from the solid mold, renews from strength to strength and from power to power, growing in greater and wider consciousness than ever before. In this contest text, Maulana Rumi tells us, I died as a mineral and became a plant. I died as a plant and rose to an animal. I died as an animal and I was a man. Why should I fear? When was I less by dying? Yet once more I shall die as a man to soar with angels blessed, but even from angelhood I must pass on. All except God doth perish. When I have sacrificed my angel soul, I shall become what no mind e'er conceived. Oh, let me not exist, for non-existent proclaims in organ tones, to him we shall return. Death, then, is another name for a change in the central life principle, the pivot around which the organized life monad moves and functions. Death is a changeless form from one set of circumstances to another set of circumstances, in different forms and under different conditions, as are most suited to the ultimate unfoldment into full effervescence of the self or the living monad, leading to greater and greater awareness of and rising into the higher spiritual values of life. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not sleep in death, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, raised incorruptible, putting on incorruption, and immortality, swallowing death in victory, defying the sting of both death and the fear of grace. St. Paul in the Corinthians. In Man the Unknown, Alex Corral says, man is made up of a procession of phantoms in the midst of which strives the unknowable reality. Nanak likewise speaks of himself in much the same strain. In the midst of the outer physical mold called Nanak plays the invisible power of the Supreme Being. In the Bhagavad Gita, the song of the Adorable One, Lord Krishna, the seventh avatar of Vishnu, one of the famous triads of the Hindu mythology, tells us, know thou, O Prince of Pandu, that there was never a time when I, nor thou, nor any of these princes of earth was not. Nor shall there ever come a time hereafter when any of us shall cease to be. As the soul, wearing this material body, experienceth the stages of infancy, youth, manhood, and old age, even so shall it in due course of time pass on to another body, and in another incarnation shall it again live and move and play its part. Those who have attained the wisdom of the inner doctrine know these things and fail to be moved by aught that cometh to pass in this world of change. To such, life and death are but words, and both are surface aspects of the deeper being within. It is clear that under the cosmic cyclic law, all things move in a circle, and all things are eternal. The dance of Shiva, at once the god of death and death leading to rebirth, not often at a higher level of existence, goes on forever and forever. Under this ever-revolving wheel of life, man, by a process of evolution and growth, keeps changing from a mere physical form to an astral form, then to a causal form, and finally to a spiritual being on the various planes of existence, until he rightly comes to his own, knows and realizes the ever-revolving, evolving principle of consciousness in him, in its fullness, which he potentially is, and embraces the totality of his being. All the same, we live, move, and have our individual being in God, the universal being. For we are his offspring, and he is the very beginning being of our being. And without his power working in us, we cannot exist and function. Acts 17:28. Like begets like. Each thing, be it a planet, an animal, or a man, grows from the seed after its own kind. Though according to the set pattern of life determined by the quality inherent in the seed. God giveth it, the seed, a body, as it hath pleaseth him, and so to every seed his own body. St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Man at the highest rung in the ladder of life on earth is not fragmented from his Maker. The Father is in the Son in the potential form, and the Son is firmly rooted in the Father, though he may, circumstanced as he is, not know the true situation owing to the limitations of the fleshly remnants in which he lives all the time while functioning on the earth plane. Because of the power of God working in him, he verily but unwittingly lives in the temple of God. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, and therefore is you? St. Paul, letter to the Corinthians. The term man is merely a name applied to the incarnated Spirit of God on the earth plane. This, then, is the famous doctrine of the Holy Trinity, a whole consisting of three parts. 1. The Father, the universal spirit. 2. The Son, the individualized spirit clothed in body, mind, and intellect. 3. The Holy Ghost, the saving link or lifelines between the two, following which the human spirit transhumanizes the human trappings, all combined in man. Hence the exhortation of the prophet of Galilee, "Be ye perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect," St. Matthew. Perfection comes from the perfect one. Perfection, then, is the goal of human life, which consists of self-enfoldment or evolution of the individual spirit by transcending the limitations of body, mind, intellect, and by trapping the deep-rooted latencies in the depths of the great sea of unconsciousness, yet unexplored and unknown in its... It is indeed a difficult task, but not impossible to achieve, if one is lucky enough to contact a master soul well-versed in both the science and the art of paravidya, or the knowledge of the worlds that are heavenly and lie beyond the senses, which senses help us only in the realm of apravidya, or the knowledge of the empirical world of the outer observation and experimentation. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, "Look here," or "Look there." For behold, the kingdom of God is within you, St. Luke. The kingdom of God is not to descend from the clouds above, it is already there in man, and one can witness its glory by the process of inversion of the attention, akin to death, a voluntary process, of course, while living, as was taught by the masters to their chosen disciples from times immemorial. What a man has done, man can do if there is proper help and guidance from some God-man. Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. Chapter 2, The Light of Life. We all have come down to this distant land called Earth like so many prodigal children of God, carrying with us the potential of our Father, which we are frittering away day by day and moment by moment in exploring the ephemeral beauties and the glories of this region, losing all recognition of our divine origin and the blissful parental home and of our ancestry altogether with the great heritage that is ours. Born of the flesh and living in the flesh, we have lost our touch with the saving lifelines within, and as such are spiritually dead. Dead in spite of the hectic life on the physical and mental levels, and in spite of the wondrous achievements in the fields of art, science, and technology. With all the comforts of life that Dame Nature has provided for her foster child, man, we yet live in a state of perpetual fear and distrust, not only of others, but of our own self. For we find ourselves helplessly and hopelessly adrift on the sea of life without any moorings to hold to and keep our bark on a steady and even keel on the tumultuous waters. Man is a microcosm, a replica of the macrocosm of the universe. The two, the individual and the universal, are intimately interrelated, part to part. All that is without is also within. And the spirit in man, despite the heavy load of physical and mental trammels, has the capacity to break through the thick and shrouding veils that peep into what lies in the beyond. The perpetual sway of the supreme God, the eternal self-existing truth, perennially the same from beginning of time. We have in this respect the testimony of a number of mystics. Thou, while living in space, has thy roots out of space. Learn thou to shutter down this side and soar into fields infinite. For so long as one does not rise above the world of senses, one remains an utter stranger to the world of God. Strive on and on till thou art completely out of the cage, and then shalt thou know the vanity of the realms below. Once thou art above the body and the bodily adjuncts, thy spirit shall bear testimony to the glory of God. Thy seat is verily the throne of God. Fie on thee that chooses to live in a hovel. Thou hast a body even when out of the body. Why then art thou afraid to get out of the body? O friend, bypass the life of flesh, that thou may experience the light of life. Thou verily art life of all that exists, the life. Nay, both the worlds here and hereafter are in thee. It is from thee that all wisdom has descended, and it is to thee that God reveals his mysteries. In short, thou appearest but so small, and yet the entire universe resideth in thee. Equipped as thou art with a human body, an angel sprite, thou canst at will roam the world over and soar in the sky. What a great fun would it be to leave the body here below and wing thy way to the highest heaven above. Quit thou thy elemental house of flesh and blood, and take with thee thy mind and spirit far above. If you could but come out of the tabernacle of the flesh, it may enable you to go to the place where flesh is not. The life of the flesh is from water and food alone. For on earth you are clothed in the raiment of the self-same stuff. Why not go nightly out of the charnel house? For you possess hands and feet that are not of this earth. It may suffice you to know that there is in you an ingress leading to thy beloved. When once you get out of the prison house of the body, you shall, without any effort, land into a new world. Well, thank you, Master. Help us to be at thy feet. Thank you all for listening, and thank you again.
Yes, it seems very simple when you say, focus on your attention,
yes,
and don't let the mind wander.
Mind just stays your consciousness. Unless your attention is there, where attention is there, there is no other work. From attention, mind into both gets out of the faculty. You follow me?
Yeah.
So you are short attention. So your attention is fixed, mind cannot work. Mind was only when your attention slackened.
But I don't feed the mind, it can't do anything.
It is you who are feeding the mind.
Oh.
Mind is not conscious. There is a vast difference between the East and the West. East says mind is material. West believes it is conscious. See? Truly speaking, mind is a view. The proof of that is, when you absorb your attention, you absorb only, you cannot know the thought content, know the mind. Mind doesn't work. You understand? So it's the attention to you. On anything. When you God even know the thought into me. You follow?
Yes.
They're very delicate parts, you see. they have outer faculties of the heart.
The which?
Outer faculties of the heart.
Of course.
Yes. Soul is carried, you see,
yes.
And mind is controlling reins. The soul is being dragged. So what you have been put on doesn't have to tell you it is soul yoga, not intellectual yoga. Yes? On soul depends everything. When your whole attention is arrived at a certain point, so you are absorbed in thought. Somebody calls you, you don't hear, your ears are there. Sometimes your eyes remain open, you are absorbed, you can't recognize anybody. The main thing is your attention. To God is greater attention, you see, greater attention. Man is manifesting. The mind works or thoughts intervene only when attention is slack. So you see why the many thoughts will come.
The ability to focus attention with more firmness, is that a matter of strength or energy, or?
That's a matter of love. Very easy way. Intellectual, you say otherwise, but you love you. No compulsion, nothing of the sort, natural.
How do I get that love?
So God is love. God is love. And our soul is also love. And the way back to God is also through love. Now how to get it? Love is in the very innate in our soul. This love is distributed into various things. Little here, little there, little there, little there. Take this example of a fruit. You have seen fruit? There are so many holes. Or there may be a pipe in which are so many holes and water is running through them. Then you drop by drop, oozes out from the soul, those holes. If you shut all the holes except one, the water will shoot forth. What?
Full strength.
That will shoot forth.
Yes.
So when you are concentrating, naturally you have feel some love within you. That the means how to get it. First, to come in contact with the higher self, God is love, your love will have a boost. So until then, what to do? Your body is charged. And anyone else touches you will come within area field of action. That will charge. Yes? So the best way to contact with someone who is in tune with them. That's the best way. Guru Amar Das says, so long as we have got no love within us, we cannot explore. But we have to get love. Love is within us, that requires a boost. Ignition, you might say. The math boxes, the dozens of math boxes, put it in your own. Will it hit anybody? Anything? Will it make your water warm, hot? If you ignite one stick, then that requires ignition. And the other is ordinary ways whom you want to love. Although you know you have got love, what you do? You are a constant remembrance of that. And as a corollary, you want to have love someone to remember it. But real love is spouse who was in company of a saint who is overflowing with love. He is overflowing the love of God and intoxication of God. You become receptive. That will you have a good. You will invite it. This can not be asked from the shop, nor grown fields, by reading, by outward observances, that also your attention is diverted to one place. But you love spoke so only when you come in contact with somebody's job. Something will at once enjoy by the reason. If a man has got some perfume and clothes, the only part does who have eaten knows that they will smell that. Those who know the clothes, that's another thing. Also in those who were just given up to sensuous life, become within the area of field of excellence, you recharge that way. So love comes when you come in contact with God, into special part, normal part. Until you have got that, you can just any man will do the world made flesh. That's all. All people say those who love this one know what is not otherwise. Do not know love, cannot know love. Then Guru proclaims, Hear ye all. What? Whoever loves is with God. So love is within you, but the flesh is patient when you come into higher love, coming to God. That is why the man who sells perfume thanks. If you go to him, it may not be anything but it is that not with God, with perfume. You are all person. If we give you one small fire, so the God man is overflowing with the love and intoxication of that is those who come in contact with that, within that field of action, they will have that is the boost for God, love. Just like a strong man, a wrestler, is overflowing with might. When you see, by seeing naturally something causes you to attack. So radiation of oxygen. That's the best way. But the other way is only that is not necessary because whom you have not seen, how can you love? Whom you have never met, never enjoyed this place. How can you love? You met with somebody, you had given take by receptivity. Naturally, you have that what is. As you think, so you become. For God, we have not seen that in between. Those who have seen and known God is manifest. When you become receptive, you will also be loved. That's it. So that is why it is sad that you sit in the presence of a master, receptive, moved. For 1 hour. The effect of that will be a, which you will now, will not have for years and then your direct charge. Now when it is for some time you feel that sound pressure reverberate. Some of you hear, sometimes you see. At last it's not your only choice, really. Music, honey, isn't it? The meditation. Once my master went to a village, the woman is used to sit. The new building of electricity. So I locked that room. Whoever entered in that room will have that vision. So that this is a charge. So that's really thing. At the back of the, there is one tank. You go and sit in your prayer meeting. At the back.
Square, the bottom and the...
Last.
The last one.
And the counter goes into the bottom. Now I'm not in this time, I'm not in there. But that mass is... The room is charged. Little receptivity. So it is by radiation we have boost. very easy to see those, what the question is. When you go out of that atmosphere, the same problem again. That is why the presence of Master can appear. For thousands of miles you can have that thing only when you have blood receptors. That. So, the physical presence is very different. And that is that. Or some encounter with the God into special power with light. Some. surrender. Let me give you another example. There are many kinds of wives. One, wives do and saints do, just different bhakta, devotees. One is you say, oh God, give me this, that thing, I don't tell you who, this and that thing. Only then I can remember you, not otherwise. Some condition there. So in surrender there is no condition. If a wife asks her husband to give something, even if he does not give it, even then she is devoted. The second clause, surrender. There's another wife. She does not ask for anything. Her clothes are worn out. No other amenities of life. If she I surrender to husband. In surrender, you see, it involves real love too. She says, well, look, your husband loves me, I'm his. And he's mine, but he does never question me what you want, my clothes are torn, nothing else. You see, all right, if my discondition, all clothes were out, half naked, that pleases her, what more not? That is a completion. So different stages of surrender, complete surrender. In the previous time she says her soul. Abram purchased one. Some say, brought him to his own home. Or say, well, what will you eat? He said, I'm bought. There's no question of mine. Where will you sit? Where will you make me sit? I'm purchased. What will you wear? No question. The different special surrender act. So you surrender to God with you, Kumar, with you. Whether they give you money or not, whether they give you. What if you nothing to eat or nothing to wear? Even then, surrender is a complete surrender. Now, there are things like that. All right, oh Master, oh God, give me this and give me that, give me that, give me that. All right, you can't. If you don't do it, I can do your prayer. Is what we don't do. Okay. Complete obedience. With no condition, with no return. Expecting nothing in return. Surrender. Heart and soul, no judgment. If that is like that, you see, the child is there. a line is coming. The child runs to the mother. Do you think mother will suffer to let a child be eaten by that? You would put ourselves in the mouth of madness and not the child. When you turn it to God and man, we protect the child. I think I mentioned you in